ready to go.
I'm ready to go.
Oh, and I'll leave this world behind. It may be morning, night, or noon, but it just can't come too soon. For
I know
I'm ready to go.
Amen. Come on, worship God with me.
Well, I won't worry about tomorrow. I won't lose my faith. I'm gonna keep on hoping, keep on believing. Oh, for that moment when we'll all be called away. I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to go.
Oh, when he calls my name, I'll fly.
I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to go.
Oh, and I'll leave this world behind.
But it just can't come too soon. For
I know,
oh, I'm ready to go. Well, I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to go.
Oh, when he calls my name, I'll fly.
I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to go.
And I'll leave this world behind.
It may be morning, night, or noon, but it just can't come too soon.
For one reason and one reason only this morning. We didn't come here to show you how good I look. Amen. But we came here that we might be a blessing and that we might be able to lift up the name of Jesus Christ and what he done on that cross, brother, for us, which we're about to celebrate that this morning. Amen. And it's wonderful, amen, to be a Christian. Ain't it? Amen. Amen. It's a good song.
Why you ever chose me, it's always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quites, all the never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones you've been looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. And ever since you rescued me, you give my heart a song to sing. Now I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Moses had stage fright, listen. David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. All the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil trying to say to me, who do you think you are? I say, I'm just a nobody. I'm trying to tell everybody
but Jesus. Let me go down.
'cause I'm just a nobody. I'm trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. And ever since you rescued me, you give my heart a song to sing. Now I'm living for the world, you see. Nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world. But Jesus, I'm a living for the world to see. Nobody but Jesus.
Amen. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who saved my soul. Amen. I like that, don't you? Amen. Go ahead, baby.
This morning. Amen. Amen. I believe we're in the right place here for sure. I tell you, coming in here this morning and meeting your pastor and listening to him as he started this service off, I just You know, it don't take much for me to see that we're in the right place. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, I am at home. Amen. Amen. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord. Now, let me say this. He is just as much in that parking lot as he is in this house today. Amen. Amen. But I want to tell you, I love to be where his presence are. And I tell you, I love to worship with people who love his presence. Amen. And you have already, several of you have already made me feel at home. I've seen your hands go up in there. Listen, it's worship. It's all about him. Listen, it's not about us. We're here to worship with you, and we're here to bless you. And our prayer this morning, as we travel to come here this morning, that we come here this morning and we could make you people love us. That we could, you know, we could go somewhere this afternoon and eat a biscuit with you or something. You know, that's not what it's about. Amen. Loving God and loving people. Amen. If you love your neighbor, I want you to look at them right quickly. Look at them in their eye. Come on, turn to them and tell them, if you wasn't here, I'd be the best looking thing in the house. Can you tell them that? Amen. Amen. Come on, yeah. I've been living in this world. Always looking for a place to call my home. You see, I've never been satisfied with what I found here. Soon I'm moving to my brand new home. But this is an address. Where I'm moving, it's lovely and it's new. There's a river flowing like crystal, and the walls are jasper too.
I like this part.
The street in front of my house, it's made with pure as gold.
Better place.
There'll be no tears.
Praise the Lord. I believe this is a time when you shout. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all got to forgive me. Oh, Lord, I'm just trying to hold back. This is the first time, Pastor. We don't normally act like this. We're normally a whole lot worse than this when we start off. Oh, ain't God good? Can we give him, come on, give him some praise in the house this morning. Come on, baby.
Been faithful to you. Yeah.
In all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, yes, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Whether everything's going perfect in your life, or whether you're going through a storm, amen. And like I heard old preacher say one time, if you're not going through one now, just hold on a minute. One's coming. Amen. But I'm glad that we serve a God that no matter where we find ourselves, God is able. God is good. And God is willing to be. The Bible said that He'd never leave us. He'd never forsake us. He'd go with us even until the end. What a God we serve, church. And I know we're short on our time. So, well, I'm going to hush up. Amen.
This is an old one. I hope you'll like this one. Put your hands together with it.
There's a light in the window, the table spread in splendor. Someone standing by the open door. I can see a crystal river, though I must be near forever. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. Oh, it's just about home time. And I can see my father standing at the door. This world has been a wilderness. I'm ready for. See the family gather, sweet faces all familiar, and no one old or feeble anymore. Oh, this old lonesome heart is crying. I'm gonna spread my wings for flying. Oh, I've never been this homesick before.
Having a good time this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can we do a cup? Can we do two more, Pastor? Can we do two more? Two or three more? Four or five more? That's right. Amen. Amen. We're just getting warmed up. When you see me grab the sweat rag, that's time for church to start right then. Amen. It's time to have church. Let me, right quickly, I don't want to take a lot of time. These guys don't really like me to do this, but I love introducing these guys to you. I love you knowing who is standing up here. And I just want to say this morning to you, if it matters to you, and I hope it does, what you see standing before you are three people who just simply are in love with Jesus 100% of our life. This is all that we want to do, even though we all have to work for a living. But we love doing this, and we love traveling and singing, and we love meeting people just like you, and we love to feel the presence of God just like I feel this morning. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we have the freeness to worship Him. And I want to introduce this crowd to you. To my left, this guy right here is just he is a tremendous part of this ministry. Works hard, does a lot of stuff that we don't even see until after the fact that he's already done it. And we're just so thankful for all that he does. I want you to make him welcome. His name is Mike Presnell. Will you make him welcome this morning? Amen. Now, this young lady I want to introduce to you. Now, y'all just tell me, can't this girl sing? She can sing, can't she? Yeah. She, Amy, come with us just close enough to a year to say she's been with us a year. I started the ministry, and I started it. Mike, come and help me, and Amy, join us. We've been traveling for 2 years, just about, and God has just been so good to us. And he's seen favor in us when he sent this young lady to us. Not only can she sing, but she sure helps us look good, too. I tell you, I want you to make her welcome. Her name is Amy Presnell. Will you make her welcome this morning?
And this is Todd Amerson. Y'all make him welcome. We're going to sing one more.
The cattle on the thousand hills, I believe on at least one. I stand in amazement to see his face, knowing that I'm his son. I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share.
Enough kids in here this morning for children's church? Yeah, we'll dismiss children's church if y'all want to do that. If y'all want to, you can come around and go this way with Miss Lynette. Thank y'all. We appreciate all these young people being here this morning and appreciate parents bringing them. We really appreciate that. Y'all give him a hand. Y'all give Todd and Mike, Miss Amy a hand. And Mr. Kenneth's in here somewhere. Yeah, he's doing the sound. Y'all give him a hand. There he is. You know, I love that song that they sung about I'm a nobody telling everybody about somebody. You know, as we go into the Lord's Supper this morning, I just want you to think about this. God called Abraham out of the land of Ur. He was a nobody. He didn't even worship God yet, and God told him to follow him, and God told him he would show him where they was going as they went away. And then he made a promise to him. All the world had come together after the flood and tried to build a town for themselves, a city for themselves that would reach heaven, that they would make a great name for themselves. And God actually looked down from heaven and said to the Son, let's go see what they're doing. The greatest thing that man has done was so insignificant to the holiness and the mightiness of God. But he called Abraham out and he says, you follow me and here's what I'll do. I'll make your name great. I'll make you a great nation. And I'll make your family great. And through your family, every family of the world will be blessed. Through Abraham, a nobody, come Jesus Christ, our Messiah, our Savior, our Lord, and our Redeemer. And this morning, that's why we're gathered here, because the blood of Christ paid the cost so that we could be declared and approved righteous to serve a holy and mighty God, to come into His presence. You know, a lot of people think I can just go to church and everything will be good and everybody will think I'm good. Hey, we cannot enter into the presence of God except by the shed blood, the grace, the mercy, and the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to begin by praying. As he said, we're going to proclaim Jesus to everybody this morning. Reverend James and Miss Diana's not here. They over at Lighthouse. The pastor was out of town, and the preacher that was supposed to preach for him just couldn't make it. I don't know if he's sick or what. And they called, so Brother James went over there to preach so they wouldn't have to cancel the service. So they'll start at 11, so I want to pray for him right now as I open this service. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious, merciful Heavenly Father, we come before you with full hearts. Lord, we just thank you for the music this morning that softened our hearts, that redirected our attention towards the throne room of worship. Lord, we just thank you, and Lord, I just lift up Pastor James this morning as he prepares to preach over there, that Lord, I know sometimes there's not but six or seven people over there at Lighthouse. Lord, this morning I'm just praying that as he stands, he'll just feel the boldness and he'll see revival break out in the souls that's there this morning. Lord, I pray for us and thank you for each person that's here this morning. Lord, without them and your spirit dwelling in each person that's here, our service would not have been complete. And Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. As we begin this morning, as I said, I've preached through 1 Corinthians several times, different ways, and it's going to have probably a little bit of a different division statements this morning because it's a lot there, and I try to point out a few things every time a little different in that. But this morning, I want you to remember the cost. I want you to remember the cost of an invitation to the Lord's table. You know, we don't just come down here and do this because we church people and we're supposed to do it. We don't just do it at the close of service before we go back out. We do it because we've been invited by an invitation from Jesus Christ to enter into the presence of a holy, holy and mighty God. When Moses was pasturing the sheep and he saw a bush burning and it didn't ever burn up, and he was looking at it and he's like, I got to go see what's going on over there. As he approached that bush, God spoke out of heaven and said, stop. Take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. The ground wasn't holy because the bush was burning. The ground was holy because the presence of God had descended from heaven and descended on the Mount Sinai. You know, we often forget he was at the Sinai Peninsula when this happened, and God told him, I'll bring you back here to worship me on that mountain. And when he brought Moses back there with the people, if you remember, we preached this 2 weeks ago, Moses was up that mountain, down the mountain, up the mountain, down the mountain. And he ended up with the Ten Commandments. That was the covenant of God's people. God had already delivered the Israelites out of the bondage of sin from Egypt. In other words, he didn't tell them, y'all follow my rules, y'all do what I say, and I'll come get you and I'll rescue you. No, God rescued them first. He said, I have made you my people. I want to dwell with you, but in order to dwell with you, you got to live by these covenant promises, these covenant rules. None of us like rules, amen? It's just one of them things that's in us. That's because we're born with something the Bible calls a sin nature. We don't like being told what to do. God gave them commandments, and it was quickly understood that by ourselves, we cannot keep those commandments. We break them. And I know what you're saying. Well, I've never worshipped an idol. Well, have you ever stole a paperclip from work? We all failed in some way. But then Jesus Christ was born. He was born of a virgin. He was took on flesh. And he was born fully God, fully man. And he died in our place after living the life that each of us should have lived. He died the death we deserve. Now, I want you to think about how important Christ taking on flesh was. Growing up in the 70s, you know, you ask Jesus into your heart. Everything will be all right. Just ask him into your heart. Jesus needed to change more than our heart. He died to change the whole person. He changed our mind. Jesus had a mind just like we do. He had set aside his glory, and he had a mind, his heart. And when he died for us, he died so he could change not only our heart, but our way of thinking, our way of desires. And so when we talk about his body and we talk about his shed blood, Hebrews 9:22 says there's no forgiveness for sin without the shedding of blood. You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, God slayed the animals and made skins for them to cover up their shame. When Christ died for us on the cross and shed his blood, he was stripped, beat, bloody, and bruised, and nailed to the most horrific torture and punishment known to civilization in that time. It was a shameful death. I want you to remember this. When Christ died for us, he didn't die just for our guilt. You know, none of us like to feel guilty. We like for our wife to get over whatever we've done and forgive us. We'd like for our mama to forgive us. We want to get over the guilt, but we still carry that shame of our past. When Christ hung on that cross, bleeding, naked, and dying, he died for our shame. So when we talk about the body and the blood of Christ, we're talking about more than just something that you talk about at Easter. We're talking about more than something we just talk about when we take the cup or we take the bread. We're talking about God himself. He told the Israelites and made a promise to them that one day I will be your God and you'll be my people and I will dwell among you. And John in chapter 1 said the word become flesh and dwelled among us. He tabernacled among us. And he says there that by the law comes sin, but by grace comes forgiveness. Christ come and lived among us in a body, yet he shed his blood to die for us. And this morning, when you think about coming to church, often we think about how rushed it is, how much gas costs now. We think about all these things. Think about what it cost Jesus so we could get gathered together. This is the greatest institution in the world. There's no greater place than the church of Jesus Christ. Here we gather together and the Holy Spirit dwells in us and lifts us up and shapes us together. This morning on the way here, I heard the song that everyone is going through something. I'm glad I'm going through it with you. Have you ever thought of that? Our church, when we go through things together, the Holy Spirit's dwelling in each of us. Jesus is with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. And we take for granted that means that he's working through the person beside you or behind you to accomplish his compassion, his mercy, his grace, his will for your life. I'm going to be like Brother Todd, run out of time if I don't jump in this sermon. Amen. As we come to the Lord's Supper this morning, we in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and first thing I want you to realize, like we've been talking about, is we need to remember Christ lived the life that we should have lived. In chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, beginning in verse 23, Paul's writing to the church at Corinth because they've got a problem. Say selfishness. How many of y'all selfish? Amen. We can't help it. We don't mean to be. It just works out that way. They've been selfish. God has made them and made them equal at the foot of the cross. They've got the, they've received the gospel. They've been saved. And they get together to have a agape meal, which is a love meal. It's kind of like what Baptists and Methodists and Church of God, we call them potlucks. Everybody brings something. They had these meals, well, most of the time, because the people that was a little better off financially, they had bigger homes, they would have these meals in these homes. And what was happening, as the people, since they owned the house, it had their friends, and there, you ain't gonna believe this, but their cliques, you know, I know y'all don't think you can have cliques, but sometimes it happens. They would be like in the dining room or the kitchen, and the other people would be in what we call the deck, or the veranda. If y'all not from around here. But they would separate the people by class, and this was causing a conflict. It was breaking the unity of the church, and Paul had spoke about this because he says in chapter 10, don't we all drink from the same cup? Don't we all eat from the same loaf? At the foot of the cross, when Christ forgave us, we were equal in the eyes of God. Guess what? It's not what you did. Or what you didn't do is what Christ did. The Bible says that his righteousness has been applied to you. And so Paul here, when he addresses this, he wants them to understand that we don't need to be selfish. We need to put selfishness away. And that takes on a lot of different forms, and that's for another sermon. But here he says, for I received from the Lord. Now Paul, 1 Corinthians, at the end of 3 years in the church in Ephesus, after he was ministering there, he wrote this letter near the end of that, probably around AD 55. And Mark, the Gospel of Mark, was written also about the same time. So Paul could have received the instructions about this Lord's Supper from the disciples. It's very possible he did. However, in Galatians chapter 1, Paul says that after he was met on the road by the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, that he went for 3 years to Arabia in the desert and received truth and instruction from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. God spoke to him. I don't know how that happened, but he says here, I received from the Lord. So this ain't Paul's idea. This is not in the policy manual of the church at Corinth or at Hunt Springs. He says, I received this from God. Here's how you worship. He said that I received that which I also delivered to you. So when he planted this church, when people got saved, they partook of baptism, they partook of the Lord's Supper. He gave them instructions, but he says, well, evidently y'all have forgot. If y'all all getting together and acting like you're still eating at home, you acting like it's a fish fry. This is important. So I received and delivered to you, he says, on the night that the Lord was betrayed, he took bread. So at the last Passover, when Jesus was eating with the disciples, they was having the Passover meal, and they had the first cup there to kind of open up the supper. And then when they took the bread, and he broke it, and he says here that he gave thanks. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So he is saying that the bread is representing his body. And when we share in the body and the forgiveness of Christ, when we share in the life that he lived, the life that he gave for us, that we are to share and have unity with one another, but remember that he gave his life for us. He lived that life that we should have lived. I've always loved this in chapter 10 of Hebrews. It says here, when Jesus comes into the world, that he said, sacrifices and offering you've not desired. Can you imagine in Luke 9:51, when Jesus set his face like flint towards Jerusalem and was heading towards the cross, somewhere along the way he looked up to heaven and he says, Father, sacrifice, offerings, these things that they've been doing repeatedly, goats and bulls, they was just so you could pass over their sins until I arrive. He says, but a body you have given me. Father gave him a body to come to this earth and live by the old covenant, by the laws of God, by the kingdom of God, by the rule of God, to live by everything that we should have lived. And chapter 4 says, and he was yet without sin. And that brings us to our second point, that we need to remember that Christ died the death we deserve. As we look here in 1 Corinthians, in verse 25, it says, in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you do in remembrance of me. Jesus says this because the old covenant with Moses was made or established between two parties, the nation Israel and God. And it was based on the law or the Ten Commandments. But the new covenant is based on the blood of Jesus. Jesus kept all the Ten Commandments and all the rules of God, yet when he died in our place and shed his blood, that brought in a new covenant. And that new covenant looks like this in Jeremiah. The promise is, but this new covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them, and on their heart I'll write it, and I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. They will not teach again each man and his neighbor and each man and his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will know me from the least of them to the greatest of them. Everybody that calls on the name of Jesus will not be disappointed. He lived the life we should have lived, yet he died the death that we deserve. And I know that sometimes we think, you know, Grandma used to say, well, he got a good heart. You know, we're not all bad, but we're not all good. Jesus lived the life that we should have lived, yet he died the death we deserve. When we partake of the blood and of the bread or the body of Christ, Paul says here that we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. We are nobodies telling everybody about somebody. Amen? And here, that's what we need to remember. That when we remember the new covenant and what it cost, we're proclaiming Jesus' death until he comes. You know, sometimes it's easy to say things like, yeah, I go to church because if I don't, I just don't feel good. You know why you feel good at church? God's presence. You know why you feel good at church? Something happened. It might be the song. It might be the preaching. It might be the praying. Somewhere along the way, you realize there was a little blemish somewhere that God wasn't pleased with, and you left it here. That's why you feel good when you leave. God calls us into his presence to clean us up. I know I was asked when I first started seminary, somebody said, it must be real easy for you to live the Christian life because you're in seminary all the time. And I said, not really. I got five professors telling me how bad I am. The more you study the Bible, the more you see God's still working in our lives. He's still working on us. Hey, we're not complete yet, but one day we will be. Now, this is where this selfishness comes in. This is what happens here. When we come to the Lord's Supper, and I don't know if I'll get through everything I want to tell y'all, but I want you to understand this. We're in this together. Paul tells them in the Philippians church, after he says Christ, though he existed in the form of God, didn't consider equality with God, a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, being found in the appearance of man. He humbled himself even to the point of death, death on a cross. And for this reason, God exalted him and placed a name on him that is above all names. So at the name of Jesus, everybody in heaven, on earth, and under earth will declare him Lord to the glory of the Father. He said, and so when we think about this, Paul, about two chapters later, says this, here's the reason I do ministry, so that we can complete and offer every person complete before Christ on that day. Have you ever thought about that? Our job as believers is to help the person beside us, behind us, or in front of us get to heaven. complete, to be all that God wants them to. I seen a video here months ago now. I loved it. It was two little boys, probably brothers, I don't know. They had a big old horse, probably about 15 hands, 15 too. And the littlest boy wanted to get on the horse and couldn't. And his other brother, both of these was probably under 10 years old. One's probably 6 and one 8 or 9. The taller brother got on his hands and knees, and the little boy got on his back. And then as he moved them cowboy boots up to his shoulders, he started standing up. And the little boy got a hold of the stirrup leather, the fender, and started pulling. And the other boy stood on his tiptoes till he got his hands on his boots and put him on the horse. And when I saw that, I said, that'll preach. Sometimes we think that people are not doing what they should be doing. And we get put out with them. At the Lord's Supper, we ask for forgiveness for that. And we need to get on our hands and knees. And if they need to stand on our back, climb on our shoulders, and if we got to push them up into the door of heaven, that's what we should do. And that's what the Lord's Supper's about. Saying, I don't want nobody I know not to be in heaven. Jesus gave his life for us so that we could be invited to this table. Paul says, therefore, in verse 27, whoever eats of the bread and drinks of the cup in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Paul wants them to be prepared when they come to the table, when they come to the Lord's table. And he says that you'll be guilty of the blood and the body of Christ if you do it in an unworthy manner. Here's one way you do it in an unworthy manner. You partake of the Lord's Supper and you've not been saved. You've not asked Jesus to forgive you. You've not asked Jesus to take away your sins and take control of your life. And this morning, I just want you to bow your head right now. If it's anybody in this church that you might believe in God, you might believe in Jesus, you might think, I need to get my life together, then I'm going to ask Jesus to forgive me. You don't have to wait. Just simply say, Lord Jesus, I know I've not lived the life that I should have lived. I know my life has not been pleasing to you. I've lived it my way, not your way. But I believe Jesus lived the life I should have lived, died the death I deserve. And Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive me and take control of my life. If you prayed that, raise your hand. Amen. Amen. Kind Father, thank you for your forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So an unworthy way is not to be saved. And another way is to not be baptized. Now, let me say this. If you've been saved and not baptized yet, that's not what I mean by this. Because if you're planning on being baptized, you take the Lord's Supper this morning because you're following the Lord in obedience. But I know a lot of people that won't be baptized because I've had them literally tell me. I say, invite all your friends. You want them to know that the old person has died. You're a new person. You're not going to go do them things you used to do. You're not going to live like that no more. You're going to be serving the Lord. You're going to be worshiping the Lord. You're a new creature. And they can come to church with you, but you can't go to the bar with them no more. And I've had friends tell me, I'm not ready for that. Well, if you're not ready for that, you're not ready to be saved. Because you've not surrendered to God. And the reason I say that, sometimes we say, well, I know you're supposed to be baptized, but I don't want to. Hey, whatever God tells us to do, we do, because it's for our good and His glory. Amen? So when we get baptized, sometimes it might be a month later, 3 months later, we're planning on it, we just haven't got there. That's okay to take the Lord's Supper. But not to do what God asked us to do is not okay. That's an unworthy matter. What you're saying is, I believe Christ died for my sins. I believe He shed His blood for me. And I know I should do this, but I don't want to. And you say, well, is it just baptism? No, it's anything. If you've got something going on in your life, might be anger, gossip, hatred, retribution, anything you know that God's not pleased with, you need to let that go too. Because Paul says here that if you do it in an unworthy manner, you're guilty. Hey, we was all guilty when Christ died. But when we ask forgiveness, we're forgiven, and we don't want to be guilty of telling people or shaming the cross of Christ is what that's called. Saying, Jesus died for me, he's changed me, but I'm going to do what I want to anyway. Jesus has got to be Lord of everything in your life. That doesn't mean we sin less, because guess what? Preachers sin too. I told somebody the other day, they said, really? I said, you ain't followed me around much. We have to ask for forgiveness. And here Paul tells us here, he says, but in verse 28, anytime you see a but, you know that we fixing to have to do something we ain't comfortable with, right? A man must examine himself, and in doing so, he eats the bread and he drinks the cup. And he gives us two reasons. First reason, for he who eats the cup and drinks, he drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge himself. Christ died to forgive us, and we're forgiven. But if we say, well, I can just mosey on in here into the presence of the Lord, it don't matter how I've lived all week, hey, we're guilty. We need to ask for forgiveness. And then the second reason, he says, for this reason, and this is something we don't preach on much, and I've got to close with this so I don't go too long. But he says, for this reason, some of you are weak, sick, and a number of you sleep. So some people were weak and health-wise, just didn't feel good, just couldn't get it going. Things just weren't there. Now, I'm not saying that every time you get sick or get allergies or get the COVID or get the flu that God is punishing you. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is God disciplines us, because Paul tells us that in a minute. So sometimes, have you ever just had that where something went right and you just couldn't get it together, and it wasn't really depressed? It was just like, I don't feel good. I don't feel right. I don't feel like working. I'd rather just sit down. Sometimes that's because the Lord's dealing with us, because we got something in our life that is not right. It might be a bad attitude. It might be bad behavior, whatever it is. If you got this weak feeling, this weakness, you need to talk to the Lord and find out what's going on in your life. And you say, well, how do I know what it is? Y'all are all smart people. We all know when we're doing something that God's not pleased with. And he says, now some of you are just sick. Hey, I remember one time I laid on my back. Well, no, I'll take that back. That's preacher's lie. See what I done? I actually slept on crutches because my feet, I had to let them hang because of my back, because of a back injury. I laid there a long time in the hospital room after they operated on me, and I made the Lord a lot of promises. Unfortunately, it took me 5 more years to realize I was not saved, and that I couldn't keep them promises if I didn't ask Jesus to forgive me, for his spirit to fill me, and for him to help me live that life. Now the Lord, I ain't saying he hurt my back, but the Lord gave me a long time to think about my life, and I promised I was going to do better. And if you ever seen a real bad, well, I ain't going to use that illustration because it's all in the news. If you ever seen a real bad truck wreck, let me put it that way, that's what my life turned into. But because I wasn't following the Lord. And then he says this, some of you are dead. So you're saying God struck them down because they weren't following him? Yes, some people he does. And you say, well, that's cruel. No, let me tell you something. If you're saved, you cannot lose your salvation. And I got a good friend who was a young man I worked with a long time. He was in a racing accident when he was a young guy, and he got hooked on pills. And he fought pills his whole teenage years and up into his early 20s. And when I got ready to preach his funeral for an accidental overdose, I pulled out a prayer book that he had written in when he was in a rehab that I'd helped him get in. And I'm going to condense what he wrote one morning in there. But he said, in summary, I've fought this addiction my whole life. I know I'm saved, but I can't whoop it. But I know one day
Jesus will take me to heaven and I won't have to fight no more. When Jesus promises that no one can snatch us out of his hand, sometimes he might take us to heaven a little early. And when he does, that's a gift. It's not a punishment. Paul says that God disciplines us so we're not condemned with the rest of the world. Paul, writing to the Romans, says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because what we couldn't do by the law, I'm paraphrasing this part, Christ did by dying in our place. This morning, I want you to think about the cost. The cost of being invited to share in the Lord's table this morning. And as you do, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. I'm going to ask you to consider a worthy manner of taking the Lord's Supper. I know that some people say, if my heart's not right, I just won't take it today. I'll wait. That's not what Paul is saying here. Paul says that the Lord's Supper is the perfect time to get your heart right. It is the time where we pause and examine ourselves. This morning, just say, Lord, help me see myself as you see me. Lord, I just want to open up the doors of my soul. And I want you just to come in with your spirit and feel me. And if it's anything in the way, if it's anything in me that's unholy, that doesn't allow room for the spirit to dwell, that you would just remove it. Forgive me, Lord. Make me whole today that I may serve you. Kind Father, we just thank you. We thank you so much that when we judge ourselves rightly, we won't be judged. And Lord, we thank you that when you discipline us, it's not because you're disgusted with us. It's because you want to spare us greater pain. It's because you know that the things that we do that's not in accordance with your holiness will cause us hurt. It'll cause us pain. This morning, I just pray as we come to the Lord's Supper that we will all remember that you lived the life we should have lived. You died the death we all deserve. And that by doing this morning, when we eat the bread and drink the cup, we're proclaiming that you're coming back to get us one day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask if Pastor Roger would come down, and Mike and Gilbert and Jesse, as we distribute the Lord's table. I do want to say that as they distribute this, that the wafer is right under the clear part, so you pull the clear part off first, and then the purple full part, that is for the cup or for the juice. So just pull the clear part off first. Jesse, I'm going to ask if you will to pray for the bread.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity today, Lord, to participate in this supper, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we're all invited, Lord Jesus, to this great supper, Lord. Lord, we just pray that as we participate, Lord, that we take this body, Lord, and we use it, Lord Jesus. We take it, Lord Jesus, and we love you, Lord. We pray this prayer in your name for your sake.
Amen. Mike, I'm going to ask you if you'll pray for the blood.
Dear precious Heavenly Father, again, we just humbly come before you now at this time and just want to thank you and praise you for your sacrifice, your us in human form, but yet you did this to honor our Heavenly Father and to have us a way that we can be with our Father and you in heaven. And we just thank you and praise you for that. We just ask you, Lord, that we remember this not only at this time, but Lord, every day and every hour that you allow us to live. These things I do ask you, precious Son, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. They have them, Mike. Mm-hmm. I know some of them are hard to open. Does everybody have one that opened, or do you, anybody need another one? Right? On the night that Jesus was betrayed, handed over by Judas to the leaders of the Israelites, and then handed over by the chief priest to the Romans to be crucified for our sins, it says that he took the bread and said, "This is my body, which is given for many. Take and eat of it in remembrance of me." Understanding the symbolism of the old covenant and the new covenant is understanding that when God made a covenant with the Israelites on Mount Sinai, it was a covenant between two parties that agreed to the terms. And it was unilateral because God made the terms. And the Israelites agreed to it, and Moses then sprinkled blood on them, because a covenant called for the shedding of blood to seal it. And it says in Scripture that the old covenant depended on keeping the law of the Lord, the Ten Commandments. But the new covenant is given in Jesus' blood, Jesus says. He says, I lived the life that you should have lived. I died the death you deserve. And you say, how do I know that for sure? He says, because I shed my blood. He said, take, drink in remembrance of me. I know a lot of people, because of tradition, have asked me sometimes, how come you didn't cover this up with a sheet? Aren't you supposed to cover it up with a sheet? I intentionally did not cover it up because I wanted us today to think about what we was doing. It's not about the traditions. It's about always focusing on Jesus. When I was a little boy, my grandma lived up on the hill from us, and my daddy had put a light right by her bed that she could turn on because she had Parkinson's. If she needed him at night, and as a little boy, I wanted to go see her every night before bedtime. And then she'd turn on that light, and daddy would turn on the light at home, and then I'd run to the house because it was dark. But I remember this when I was a little boy. My daddy would be in the bedroom window, and our house had a basement, so the bedroom window was up high, and when I was running down that hill, I could see my daddy watching to make sure I got home safely. When Paul says, as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim Jesus' death until he comes. He's saying, this reminds us to keep our eye on Jesus. Because just as Stephen looked up into heaven and said, behold, I saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God, waiting for him. Jesus is waiting to welcome us home. And one day, according to Revelation chapter 19, we're going to sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And Jesus will once again drink the wine and eat the bread in an eternity of peace. Let us pray. Kind Father, as we close and as Todd and Mike and Miss Amy come to sing a closing song. On the night that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, it says afterwards they sung a hymn and then went out. Lord, as they lead us in this music, I pray that our hearts will be stirred. Lord, I will stand here as they sing, and if it's anybody this morning that needs to talk to me, to ask a question, or needs just to come to the altar to be in your presence for a few more minutes, I pray that the Holy Spirit would draw them to the altar this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I let you down. You feel more broken.
I just want to thank all y'all for being here, and thank all of y'all for all your prayers. And I want you to remember those who led you to Christ and those who have influenced your life, and learn from them and influence somebody else's life the way that they have influenced yours. I finished school. My mama had waited a long time, but she was in heaven. And Dr. Carson's the one that taught me into staying in school after I graduated the first time. And they asked me if I wanted to say anything afterwards, and I knew the professors knew Dr. Carson, and I said, I wonder if Dr. Carson looked at my mama and said, Miss Josie, I told you I'd make that tadpole into a bullfrog. They used to tell me that all the time. But all of us have people that's been in our lives and influenced us. And we need to influence others and remember, help them stand complete before Christ on that day. Kind Father, we come before you at the close of this service and thank you. Thank you that you paid a price that we could not afford. That, Lord, you paid the ultimate price that we could share in your table. We thank you that you invite us to share it together. Not just because of who we are or where we live, but because we all are known by you. Lord, we thank you for that. I pray for everyone here that, Lord, you would bless them and let them see glimpses of your grace and glory in the land of the living. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.